I know you're going to another message. I only take a couple minutes of your time. I don't want to take a long time because I've got a couple more songs to sing. But I just want to share something very quickly with you, something that bothered me for a number of years. And so a year or so ago, I prepared a message called The Chronological Christmas. Because we go into a bunch of churches and you see the nativity scene up front, and there's the three kings. They were neither three nor kings. And the shepherds. And it's like it all happened at once. It's like the Reader's Digest version of Christmas. But the Christmas story, as we've heard this morning, took 3 years. If we start with Zacharias and Elizabeth and Luke, actually the Christmas story is in two different books. Matthew, which was more to the Jews. Luke, which is to the Gentiles. And very quickly, many miracles. We heard this morning from Gabriel about the miraculous birth of John. And then Mary and Gabriel in Luke 1 to 26. And then it's a really interesting thing that happens when Mary goes to visit. I'm going through this very quickly and stay with me. But Mary goes to visit with Elizabeth. And the baby jumps in Elizabeth's tummy because he realizes that Mary is carrying the Savior of Jesus, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And then we have John's birth. And then we have Matthew in 18 to 25, Matthew 1, about Joseph. And the Lord doesn't mention Gabriel, I suppose. Gabriel talked to Zacharias, Gabriel talked to Mary, and I'm almost positive that Gabriel also was the one that talked to Joseph. And then in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, of course, we have Jesus' birth. Now, I want to point out two different things in this part. And that's that, first of all, it didn't happen in a bubble. When the shepherds went through the streets of Bethlehem, first of all, it's really interesting that the shepherds weren't what we'd call very high up the social ladder. They were unclean. They were not even admitted into the temple. And yet they're the ones that went to Christ. Because the love of Christ is open to everyone. That's the message that's there. I'm going through this quickly, as I said. And I wish we had time to look at Simon and Anna. So many things in that. But I want to take a look very quickly at the Magi. And I heard already this morning about the Eastern Star. And if anyone, and so there's some people in here that know me and know my bubble doesn't quite fit in the middle. And I get a kick out of this because if the star was in the east, because the Magi were from where? Help me out here. Where were the Magi from? The east. So if the star was in the east and the Magi were in the east, they had to go all the way around the world. The star was in the west. We even have a ladies' society called the Eastern Star. There wasn't such a thing. Interesting things about the Christmas story that people believe that aren't really true. I saw something online just the other day. My mind goes all over the place, but give me just a quick second here because I found this interesting. There was a picture on Facebook of a horse with two canvas things on its back, and it said, a poor man's camel. They were parading through the church. The wise men came what? How many years later? About 2 years later they came. And it didn't happen in a bubble. But I want to talk about them for a minute. What did they do? They followed what? They followed the star, right? And what did the star lead them to? To Jesus Christ. And I have a quick question for you this morning. What leads people to Jesus Christ today? I'm looking at them. Did you folks know you were stars? Because we are. I was sitting in my living room a couple years ago while I was putting this message together. And I mentioned that I had heard that a star doesn't try to be a star, it just is a star. And my son said, I've been trying to tell you that for years, Dad. Which tells you something about my son. But are we shining for Christ? See, I'm just trying to hit highlights here this morning. Are we shining for Christ? Or is our star shine being covered up by so many things of this world? Because, and our guys have heard this before, but if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ and have him in your heart, it shows. As a matter of fact, that scripture tells us that we have an aroma about us. If you love the Lord, did you know you smelled for Christ? We do. My wife and I loved to cruise. We got on a cruise ship and went up to the Lido deck. When we first got on the ship, and we sat down at the table for four, there was all kinds of other people. A couple came along and sat down. And after about 2 minutes, she said to us, you guys are Christians, aren't you? And I went, well, I got a sign on? But they knew, just by, I guess, our demeanor and who we were. People see us. We don't live in a bubble. They didn't live in a bubble back there. I spoke just this year a couple of times about carrying that story on. I said, I'm trying to very, very, very quickly do this. But there's something about the kings. You know, we have a Christmas carol. A Christmas carol that's in our hymn books. And it's called We Three Kings. And that's not scriptural. But there's nothing wrong with the song. Verse 2 says this, born a king on Bethlehem plain, gold I bring to what? Help me out here. To crown him a king. You know, I studied a lot of reference books. There's very little about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But gold is royalty. Gold is rich. And I honestly believe, what did they do after the Magi left? Joseph had a dream, and they ran away to Egypt. I think they used that gold to get to Egypt. Verse 3 says, frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. If you went into the Holy of Holies, by the way, what was covered in gold in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant was covered in gold. Royalty. The king. What did they do in there? They burnt frankincense. The incense went up to the Lord. Something else that we can learn. Verse 4 says, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering doom. What's that? That signifies the death of Jesus Christ. But how do we apply it to us? Do we realize that Christ is king of our lives? Do we live our lives so that we know that he's king? Frankincense is prayer. How is our prayer life? Does it just get to the ceiling? Or does the incense of prayer rise up to God? How about death, myrrh? And this is what I struggle with. Because when we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, unfortunately for us, self isn't killed. We have to do that ourselves. And in my own life, do I put self to death? Or does self-control over the Holy Spirit? You know, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit can be saddened by what we do in our life. How is your life? Are we bringing these to Christ? That's what I'm asking. Are we looking at the Christmas story and realizing that that's the beginning, and we've heard already this morning that 33 years later, he gives his life for ours. And I challenge you this morning, and this is very, very quick, just gone through. You just heard two 45-minute sermons in about 7 or 8 minutes. I want the guys to come back up. I just challenge you this morning at this Christmas time to realize that we celebrate Christmas. Yeah, and it's a wonderful family time. I had some of my family here for the last week. Well, I did this a number of years ago, and I stood on the platform and I said, last week was so wonderful. Our kids were here for the whole week, and I said, this week's going to be better because they went home this morning. But it's true. But I love to have my family. But that's just part of it. Can we grasp the fact that the Son of God came and dwelt here and died for us so that we can have him king of our lives, that our prayers reach him, and we can put self to death and live for him? I mentioned this when we sang last weekend. I had put an old Vince Gill CD on, Christmas CD. And his daughter was singing, "Let there be peace on earth, but let it begin with me." The only way we can have peace is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're ever going to get peace. And things around us may... You know, I worked in the insurance business. Well, do you work in the insurance business? I spent time in the insurance business. And some days I'd have all kinds of stuff in my mind, and I'd be sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden, I could hear myself humming, "Jesus Loves Me," or some kids. Because you can take the happiness away, but you can't take the joy away if you have Jesus. There's peace. You know, they keep the Christmas time. Every one of my grandkids, and they're all adults, I still get a Christmas list of things they know they don't. We need that, Grandpa. There's only one thing you need. I knew that was coming. There's only one thing we need, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all. And I want Sandy to come and sing a song that, "If this doesn't bless you, sir, your blesser's busted." It's true. Jesus is all that we need. He's all I need.
He's all I need when I just need some talk to. He's always there. To him I pray each time.